Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's a Food Friday. Each day, the people of Earth drink 1.6 billion cups of coffee, 1.1 billion consumed in the WAMC newsroom. If that wasn't enough to give you a buzz, they drink twice as many cups of tea. That means the odds that you have had a cup of coffee or tea already today are quite high, and it means you'll really want to stay tuned to this show. Whether you take it black, with cream, honey, or sugar, we want to know, what's your idea of a proper cuppa? And if you don't know, we have some experts here in the studio who can give you a few pointers. Flavio Lichtenthal fell in love with coffee at age 13 in his native Buenos Aires. He brewed the fascination into a coffee roasting business and blends some of the best beans in the Berkshires at the number 6 depot in West Stockbridge, Massachusetts, with another location at Tanglewood. You may have heard of that venue. He's also a member of Berkshire Farm and Table, an organization that promotes regional food culture in the Berkshires and the Hudson Valley. Kevin Borowski stumbled on the wonders of tea while trying to live a healthier lifestyle over a decade ago. Inspired by the possibilities of the versatile beverage, he opened the Whistling Kettle in Boston Spa 10 years ago, brewing teas and selling tea-making accessories. He opened a second location earlier this year in Troy, New York. So how do you take your coffee and tea? We'd love to hear from you. We have experts in the studio. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on our website. We have a Vox Pop section, so you go to wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment there. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. You can even email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But we do love your calls here on this program. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Flavio and Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So we'll start with the coffee, since that is something I know quite a bit about and that I drink 17 cups a day. Flavio, how did you start in this business that you're in?
I was a chef for the last 10 or so years. And through cooking, I was kind of accidentally introduced to the roasting of coffee through a friend of mine who had a contact in Jersey, who had a roastery, and I was privy to the roasting process and became fascinated by it. But I think that because I cooked for so many years, I was always into food. Coffee became very mysterious. And that was the beginning of it.
I think it is very mysterious. You buy either the beans that are already roasted or you buy ground coffee in the store. So what intrigued you about the roasting process?
Well, the roaster has an incredible amount of control over the finished flavor of the beans. So
temperature and time being key?
Temperature, time, volume, and also balancing the control that you bring to the equation with all the qualities that the bean has inherently. So the origin of the bean, the altitude, latitude, how it was harvested, how it was dried, the process of drying affects what the outcome will be. And the challenge for the roaster, like a chef, is to try to maximize what's inherently the bean and make it the best that it can be.
It's interesting. There seems to be, it is somewhat analogous to cigars. There are tobaccos that are sun-grown, that are shade-grown, and how they're cured and how they're prepared makes a huge difference from a good cigar to a lousy cigar.
Well, I don't know much about cigars, but sounds like it. Definitely shade-grown, whether a bean is naturally process, which means that it's left to dry in the sun with its pulp and mucilage on, or whether it's washed, which means that it's stripped of its fruit, affect the outcome tremendously. So it's really exciting, and there's a lot of room for error, but a lot of room for discovery, and every roast is a little bit of a learning experience.
I want to talk to you more in a moment about the margin for error and some of the errors one can make. We're talking to Flavio Lichtenthal, who is the proprietor of Number 6 Depot in West Stockbridge and at Tanglewood. He's the coffee side of the equation today, and the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We're also joined by Kevin Borowski, who is the tea expert on our staff here today. And the Whistling Kettle is the place that you opened some 10 years ago. How did you get into tea, Kevin?
I was living in Manhattan, in New York City, with my wife. I went from IT to tea, literally.
So you were a computer geek who decided to
Yes, and my wife was a fashion designer. So we were getting into cooking better foods to eat healthier, and on a whim, I went online and looked up tea, and I found all these teas I've never heard of before, never seen these at a grocery store. So I started ordering them, and we both got hooked on tea. So at some point later on, we were looking to leave New York City, get out and raise a family and maybe consider doing a business together. And my mother came back from a trip to Germany, and she just mentioned, oh, I went to this tea shop there. And we looked at each other and we're like, that's an idea. Where is there a tea shop around here? So we started researching and developing a formula, and we opened up a tea shop slash cafe in Ballston Spa 10 years ago.
Did you feel that at the time was a bit of a risk?
It was, because, you know, there was like, how many tea drinkers are there? And I actually had people say, like, you know, you're wasting your time. There's not enough tea drinkers out there. So it was definitely a risk for us.
But it's gone well, and you've opened a new shop in Troy.
Correct.
And that's fantastic. And the catalog, is this a yearly catalog that you put out that I'm looking at here, the Whistling Kettle?
Yes, we're actually almost ready to do the 2015 catalog, sent to the printers next week, we hope.
Well, I think that the overhead on this catalog alone, you must be doing all right to justify this. It's a nice catalog.
It's nice, but really, if you just buy one or two samples, that covers the price of the catalog. So it's a great educational and reference tool.
And you brought tea with you, and you brought some 15, 20 different varieties of samples here.
Correct, because there's a lot of visuals to look at here.
There are a lot of visuals, and maybe we'll brew some in a little bit.
Yes.
And we'll also do the sniff test. Did you say you had a sniff bar at your location?
Yes, that kind of came through our research. We went to different tea establishments in New York City, and you know, we wanted to actually look at a tea and see what it was like. You know, we always got an annoying look by the clerk. So we set up our own self-service bar with everything's in a container, and so customers can go up to it and open it up and smell it, because a lot of times the smell will kind of give you an indication whether or not you'll like the tea.
So I asked you before the show, I said, is there any domestically produced tea, grown tea? And you said only one spot. So most of your tea comes from far overseas.
Yes.
Give me some of the places.
China, India, Sri Lanka, Japan, Indonesia. So you see a lot of overlap with coffee, but those are the primary growing regions.
Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We talk coffee and tea today. And do you have issues with duties and, you know, some difficulties getting it from some of these far-flung places?
Not necessarily. It does. You do have some of these places are very small, so there are times where I can't get it because, you know, they didn't have enough rain and they ran out. But it's generally not too difficult. You just got to know who to get it from.
Well, you certainly have a wide variety with you, and we'll talk more about that coming up. But let's go to Lynn in Shelburne. Lynn, you're on.
Hi, everybody. Yes, I wish to speak to your coffee guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. What do you feel is the best way to brew coffee, number one?
Well, there's many, many ways to brew coffee. At Six Depot, at our cafe, our favorite way to brew it is doing pour-overs. And we can do single pour-over Harios, or we, at home with my family and at the cafe, our favorite way is to do a Chemex, which is a...
Oh, my gosh, I haven't heard any of this. Pour-overs?
Well,
yeah, pour-overs is when you weigh your coffee to the desired ratio to your water content, and you grind the coffee, and then with a gooseneck a kettle, preferably, you through a filter, you slowly infuse your coffee with the water, and
at what temperature?
A little bit of a boil. I would say 195 would be ideal. You don't want to scorch your coffee. Very hot water will scorch it and take flavor away.
Isn't the pour over what a drip coffee machine
does?
It's
basically what is definitely what a drip machine does, except that when you do it manually, you can have more control over how you infuse the coffee. So it's best to give it a first, like a round the filter infusion to let the coffee open up, take in the liquid, and then do a second infusion 30 seconds later. And three infusions later, you have a cup of the cleanest and most beautiful coffee that you'll ever have. It sounds complicated, but it's really a ritual that we do at home. Once you get used to it, it's really easy, and it's a great little ritual in the morning.
Mm. And what was your second question, Lynn?
Well, I was thinking more like the homeowner could do whatever, but that sounds like it would spoil me completely. I love coffee.
Lynn. Whoops, she's gone. Okay, Lynn left us. What about French press? Back in the day, the French press was quite a popular fad. Mm-hmm. Is it not a good way to
French press is great. It's a little different. It's a slightly grainier extraction. Some good friends of mine who are totally into coffee. That's her favorite French press. I find it, especially for the shop, that it's a little harder to be consistent. The grind it's a little coarser. The time that it needs to steep. There are some elements that make it a little harder to repeat the experience. Whereas with the pour overs, I find that all the steps are much more repeatable.
So you're not a guy who owns a coffee machine at the house.
At the house, no. Right now, we don't. Okay. Right now, we have our kettle and our grinder.
Sounds fair. Yeah. We'll take a break here. We're talking with Flavio Liestenthal and Kevin Borowski about coffee and tea on this fine Food Friday. Back with more coffee, more tea, more of your calls coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Lori Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond, stillwellcpa.com. Hudson Valley Fresh Dairy, a partnership of 9 Hudson Valley dairy farms providing fresh local milk, cream, sour cream, and yogurt to our neighbors, HudsonValleyFresh.com. And Berkshire Theater Group, presenting Michael Gazzo's A Hatful of Rain, a 1950 drama, raising social consciousness about the cost of war for our veterans, August 13th through the 30th in Stockbridge, BerkshireTheaterGroup.org.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here on a Food Friday. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We've been talking coffee and tea today. We're joined by Flavio Liestenthal of No. 6 Depot in West Stockbridge and at Tanglewood. Also, Kevin Borowski of The Whistling Kettle in Boston Spa and Troy, New York. Jessica Blaustein Marshall, our producer, has just brought cups of hot water in. And I do believe we are going to try some tea. Kevin, what are we trying here?
I'm just doing a couple of different fun ones first to start with.
What do you have in there? Now
this one's called Butter Truffles. It's a black tea with a lot of pistachios and peppercorns, and it really has a nutty flavor to it.
All right. Oh man, that smells delicious. You want to try that, Flavio?
Definitely.
Can you eat that? Just out of the bag,
no,
like a snack?
No,
no, would not be good.
No.
Okay. All right. While you prepare, let's take a call at 1-800-348-2551. John in Greenwich. You're on, John.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, guys. I've been lucky enough to be in Europe a couple of times, and the coffee is so much better. I know it's mostly espresso based, Is the difference between the coffee you get in the United States, you know, if you go and get a cup of coffee, and the coffee you get in Europe, is it in the beans? Is it in the roasting? Is it in the brewing process? What is it that makes European coffee more flavorful, you know, smoother, less bitter?
Well, it could be all of the above. It could be the brewing, the roasting, and the origin. John, you favor strong, very, very full tasting coffees?
Yes, but you know, not bitter.
Not and bitter.
It, yeah. You know, well, in Europe, if you get a cappuccino, the milk itself is enough of a sweetener that you don't need to add sugar.
The bitterness would be attributable to the roasting. No coffee, no green coffee is bitter. That would be more in the hands of the roaster. I would guess that the coffee you had in Europe was roasted in the development of the beans was treated differently. I don't know what coffees you had in the U.S. I wouldn't say that all U.S. Coffee would be bitter, or that it's a style of U.S. versus Europe style. It might be more particular to the roasters or to the beans that you had. I wouldn't say that you could stereotype Europe against the U.S. in roasting style.
Fair enough. Thanks, John, for the call. And we talked at the outset of the show about roasting. So the roasting technique can make a coffee, and some people like a little bitter edge to their coffee. Mm-hmm. And you said a lot of it is trial and error when you're learning. So what are some of the biggest mistakes you have made when you were learning to roast coffee?
Well, definitely over-roasting, roasting too hot, too quickly, can lead to char. I mean, beans are very delicate. They need very, very, very smooth treatment. How you hit the bean at first, with what temperature you hit it. I definitely burned my share of beans. And,
yeah.
And then on the opposite end, if you under roast, you end up with a very bready, thin, acidic taste. So,
fascinating.
So it's definitely a dance to try to extract. And each, by the way, each origin demands a different attention.
So each type of bean, and what's your favorite to work with?
Oh, I that's like picking children. they each have their beauty. Every origin has its challenges and charms. It's hard to say. The African beans, for example, tend to be very floral, citrusy, very bright. Not to use the word acidity, although in coffee acidity is a positive,
mm-hmm.
because it can make for a very complex flavor. So those beans you would treat very delicately. You would roast as little as possible. You would try to stay out of the way as much as possible.
Yeah.
Of those, because they you can lose what makes them beautiful very quickly
by over roasting.
Yeah, some other like South Americans and Indonesians tend to have a little more moisture. They have a little more to work with. You can develop them for a longer time. Develop more sugars, more oils, more flavor compounds.
I noticed you brought a Sumatra with you.
Yes,
I did. We're not brewing coffee today, alas. But you brought what did you bring? You brought several varieties.
I brought five of our blends that we are creating at Six Depot, and the Sumatra that you are mentioning is actually, is it Sumatra that you like, or is it the name of the actual blend?
I like them all, but I've had Sumatra and love it. Yeah.
Well, this happens to be a blend of three a Sumatra bean roasted in three profiles. Which we call the sexy blend, and it's it says Sumatra three ways.
Yeah.
So that's the Sumatra. Sumatra is a bean that you can roast for a longer period of time. It takes heat very well. There's a lot of depth and complexity to that bean, which is why I chose to do three different profiles and then blend them together.
So when you do that, you can sort of, like when they blend scotch, by doing so, you get a more homogeneous, over a course of several batches, you can get them that sort of have the same flavor profile over the course of months, over the course of years. So is that way a way to keep this consistent?
Yeah, you could say that, or it's also to be a little more fair to the origin. The Sumatra bean is very complex, and I found it very challenging to come up with one roast that paid tribute to that bean. So I found that by doing the three profiles, that I captured a lot of the good acidity, plus a lot of the depth, plus the mid range. So maybe it's a broader picture that I'm creating rather than a specific one.
The way you speak, it sounds like you develop a relationship with the beans.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. All right, we're going to try some tea here. We're going to take some calls as well. Kevin, what are we sipping here? Delicious.
This is that butter truffles you tried earlier.
Mm. And there's no sweetness. I mean, there's no added sweetness to this, but it's sweet.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
And there's more that are even sweeter than that, naturally.
Just naturally sweet. Yeah. Mm. We are joined today on this Food Friday, and I promise I'll get back to the calls. It's my bad, folks. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Flavio Liestenthal of the Number 6 Depot in West Stockbridge, Mass., and in Tanglewood. Also by Kevin Borowski of the Whistling Kettle in Ballston Spa, New York, and now in Troy. We're sampling some tea here that Kevin brought. And let's go to the phones at 1-800-348-2551. Clark in Albany. Clark, you're up.
How you doing?
Good.
I just have some questions about espresso. You know, I'm an espresso fan. I like it. And I always, like, try to find different samples from, you know, small coffee shops. And it's always interesting. But at home, I mean, what would you look for? I have one of those automatic, you know, what's the best way to do an espresso at home? Is it to have a machine and grind it yourself, or... you know, the pot style, or what do you like, or what would you recommend?
Hey, Clark, thanks for the question. Well, definitely grinding your coffee, whether it's espresso or brewed coffee at home right before brewing, is desirable. For espresso is very specific. Espresso is really the extraction of the coffee in a 24, 26 second time frame. You're basically pushing water through a very, very, very finely ground coffee with 9 bars of pressure. So espresso could be any coffee that you brew through an espresso machine becomes an espresso. Now there's desirables. I would recommend using something that is slightly more roasted because of the extraction. You're going to get a lot of brightness. So usually a well-developed bean will have more sugars and oils that will translate into more pleasurable espresso. But definitely, it's very challenging to make great espresso at home, I have to say. But if you can, if you don't mind spending a bit of money, I know Rancilio and some other companies have made fairly good espresso machines at home.
And they're not cheap.
They're not cheap. I would say that, they're not cheap. I think you're probably looking into the $300-$400 range to begin. But it's very, very challenging to make great espresso at home because you need the water temperature, the pressure of the machine. It's very, very specific.
Yeah.
So even professional espresso shops struggle with making a great 24-second extraction that will be delicious.
And that's because I know it's like different shops and even different people or how they do it. It's always a little bit different, you know. Sometimes like, oh, wow, that's a really great cup. I've got to go back, but it's not always the same, you know.
Completely. How the grind affects the outcome, how it's tamped greatly affects the outcome, the machine, the temperature, like I said. It's all these factors. It's a very, very quick, you have a very, very short amount of time to make a great statement. So espresso is very challenging. I did it for years at home, and I always found it very frustrating to get a great espresso. But But definitely if you have a good machine, you have a fresh roasted coffee, you take your time with it a little bit, tamping it right, grinding it right, experimenting, don't get frustrated. You know, you should be able to get a nice espresso at home.
Thanks for the call, Clark. Here's one that came in, written in question. Where can you get shade-grown coffee in Massachusetts?
Well, you can't. There is no indigenous coffee to Massachusetts. You would have to find a. At Six Depot we import.
Yeah, so you have it at Six Depot.
Shade-grown coffees that we roast.
And I think
so,
that's all that.
So
question.
Six Depot would be be an answer, but there's many roasters locally who carry shade-grown.
Okay.
Fair trade, organic, so that's just doing a little research.
Fair enough. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. That's Flavio Lichtenthal, and he is with Number 6 Depot, the coffee joint. And Kevin Borowski is also here, the tea guy from the Whistling Kettle. And this second tea that we're drinking, Kevin, it's very light, very honey-colored.
Yes, you're picking up. You have good palate.
What is this?
That is organic cloud and mist tea. And you mentioned cigars before.
Yeah.
Tea is very much the growing process. That particular tea is grown in China in what is known as the cloud and mist zone.
Yeah.
So it's an area that's very typically very overcast and it's not a lot of sunlight. So the tea leaves develop more chlorophyll than they normally would. So it gives it a little bit of a different flavor profile.
Certainly does. It's very, not mellow, but almost light.
On the lighter end of the spectrum.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Dick in Albany. Dick, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Wanted to talk about tea for a minute.
All right.
First, I just want to say that I can't drink coffee. It seems to upset my stomach. But my wife gets the coffee the way you recommend it, freshly ground and poured through in the morning in bed. So she's lucky. But I drink tea and I make it in quantity now. I like it for caffeine, so tea bags and that sort of thing. Don't do the trick. It's got to be quite a bit stronger.
And stronger when you steep it yourself?
Right. What? Stronger so that it has a good amount of caffeine. And to me, that you can have quite strong tea that's not tannic and bitter if you just brew it for 2 or 3 minutes and no more.
What do you think, Kevin?
Well, with a lot of the loose tea, because it is coarser than your typical bag tea, you can brew it a lot longer. So I've had black teas brew up to 6 minutes, so you can go a little bit longer without actually having to get the burnt or the tannins come out, which gives it that bitter flavor.
You know, Dick brought up the question about caffeine, and what is the caffeine ratio of tea to coffee? How much less caffeine is in tea?
Well, in black tea, typically it's roughly half the caffeine is in coffee, and then as you go down, if you have green tea or white tea, they'll have less. So there's usually a range.
This tea that we just drank from the mist area of China, which seemed fairly light, this is fairly light on the caffeine?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
But however, though, there are other things in tea that will boost your metabolism. So it's not just caffeine that kind of gives you that alertness. There are other amino acids and things that are present in tea that give you that that boost.
Dick, I think I sort of co-opted the conversation here. Do you have a follow-up question?
Well, that was very interesting. I did have something else. I drink a variety of teas, Bell Black, and I love smoked black tea, Lapsang Souchong. I guess it's not quite entirely black. I'm not sure. It's an oolong, maybe. But I'm wondering if there are other kinds of smoked black teas around.
There are other smoked black teas. I mean, Lapsang Souchong is the most famous of them all. There are different varieties of Lapsang. That tea is usually the bottom leaf is picked for that. You're not on the sun, but the bottom. They'll have ones that originate from Taiwan. China's typically where Lapsang comes from. There's Russian Caravan, which is a blend that incorporates Lapsang. And there are some teas that are naturally kind of a smoky, undertone to it. So I even brought one.
This one that we're drinking now is very dark. I don't know which tea this is, but it's very dark, very hearty.
Yes.
What is this one?
That one is the Ethiopian Mocha Pu'er, which is actually half pu'er tea and half coffee. So it's actually coffee.
Aha!
Yes.
So he's cheating, yeah. But it's really good, Dick. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. So this is half coffee and half tea.
Right.
How does that brewing process work?
It's very similar to the way we brew it, the normal way that we would brew tea. So in this case, you know, we have water that's maybe not quite boiling, close to boiling, and you measure the correct ratio depending on how much you're making, and you use an infuser basket as the preferred method, which mm-hmm. is just a very large basket, and you pour the water over that, let it steep for 3 to 5 minutes, and then you're ready to drink it.
That's a very hearty, it's a good taste, a bracing taste, but very round and
right.
very, very delicious. Zach the engineer, I'm getting wired here from drinking all the tea, so I think we'll take a break. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. More coffee, tea talk. Your call's coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Schenectady Green Market, a community marketplace providing fresh local produce and artisan goods every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. around City Hall, schenectadygreenmarket.org. Orange County Tourism in the scenic Hudson Valley, complete with Hudson River cruises, outlet malls, and an outdoor sculpture park on 500 acres, 845-615-3860 for trip planning. Pangea, North Bennington, Vermont, catering Southern Vermont weddings and corporate events with menus designed for special occasions, VermontFineDining.com and Facebook. And Capital Region Honda Dealers, offering new and pre-owned Hondas in New York, Vermont, and Massachusetts for the summer season. CapitalRegionHondaDealers.com.
Vox Pop, a Food Friday on WAMC, coffee and tea, and Jessica Blaustein. Marshall, what have we here? What is this stuff?
Kevin, tell you that.
That one is, that's chocolate monkey.
Chocolate monkey. It doesn't look chocolate. It looks like ginger ale.
No, that's the same one from before.
Okay.
Oh, that's, this is, yeah, okay, that's.
All right, now we're getting confused. Yeah. There are a lot of cups here. And by the way, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. If you want more information on the Six Depot and the Whistling Kettle, we have links on our website. If you go to WAMC.org and Vox Pop or Food Friday, you can search Food Friday. You'll find all the info and how you can find the Whistling Kettle or Six Depot. And very nice to have you both here. Let's go back to the phones. Chala in Pine Bush, you're on.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I'm Turkish, so I'm going to talk about Turkish coffee.
Okay.
Which I've drank all my life. I want to share how the coffee, the history of coffee, how it gets to the Western world. Turks, the Ottoman Empire, which lasted 600 years, overlapped, you know, Byzantium and Roman empires, used to drink a lot of coffee. And the reason they grew and grew and grew was because they would drink, give their soldiers, when they attacked other places, Turkish coffee. All the time, all day long, so they could stay awake and fight.
Okay.
However, when in the 18th century they attacked Vienna, they lost. They lost, and they had to retreat, and they left their prisoners there, as well as ton of black coffee. And the Viennese and Austrians didn't understand what this was. They thought it was black gunpowder, so they were going to burn it or throw it in the water. But some of the prisoners said, oh, don't, we drink this. And they said, prove it to us. And they drank it. And thus the coffee, Viennese loved it. And that was a time when, you know, Vienna was the big place like Paris. And that is how coffee started going to Vienna and then to France and then to America, I guess. And as to the tea, we're used to drinking tea, black tea, only black tea that grows on the shores of Black Sea in Turkey. We used to drink it with samovar, which is a big, huge copper, well, brass thing But we also have machines or a pot that you double brew it. The container in the bottom has boiling water, and there's another container on the top where you put loose tea and boiling water, and that's how it brews for 3 minutes. I've been in this country for 50 years.
Yeah.
When I would want to have tea, because I was a tea person, people that I was always with said, "Oh, are you sick?" Because it was a time when people drank tea only when they were sick.
Mm.
So I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, that's a great story. You know,
thanks, Jella.
That sounds plausible. That actually, how coffee came to Vienna. Yeah.
I mean, because the Turks, you know, won everywhere. They captured North Africa. They captured Iran, Iraq, Crimea, Ukraine. And then they, you know, Bulgaria, Yugoslavia. And the next place was Vienna. They lost. They just lost. Viennese were so ready for it. Yeah. But that is how, I mean, I read it in a book. There is a book, except that it's in Turkish. I'll be very happy to share it with the coffee person. You know, you have my phone number. And if he's interested in calling, I will,
there,
I mean, I'll translate sections of it. But it is a sort of an information, I thought.
Okay.
Your listeners would like to share.
Flavio, what do you think?
Thank you, Charles. That's really interesting. I had the pleasure of having Turkish coffee in Turkey, and it's delicious and super strong. And I wanted to say that there's a book called Uncommon Grounds that is very comprehensive history of coffee also.
Mm, okay, well, thank you very much, Charles, for the call. And Kevin Borowski, this is a very lovely coffee I've been sipping here while we
tea.
Heard the tea, I should say. While we're listening to the history of coffee, what am I drinking?
That's Chocolate Monkey. Rooibos is actually a caffeine-free herb that's grown, originates from South Africa.
Delicious.
And that one has like a banana,
it does.
Peppercorn
it
notes
you can definitely
to it.
Taste the fruit in that. Let's go to Jim in Brooklyn. Jim, are you really in Brooklyn now, Jim?
Yeah.
Wow, you're listening on the internet, I hope.
Yes, WAMC.org.
Nice, man. Well, you're on the air.
Well, I just want to pass along a brewing process that's been in my family for a number of generations. And to do it, you need an outside fire. You put the coffee beans or the coffee grounds into a fry pan, and you toast them up. And then at the same time, in an old blackened coffee pot, you put in some really fresh water, let it come to the boil. You take the toasted coffee grounds, put them into the boiling water, and then in with it, you put maybe a dozen or so eggshells.
Really?
And the reason for the eggshells is they're porous, and they will absorb all of the bitterness and the harshness of the coffee grounds. That's something that if you're using a drip or a pour over process, you're going to lose because it's going the coffee grounds are going to stay above the water. The water just basically passes through. But when you have the shells and the coffee down in that water bubbling along, the first person to get to the coffee pot usually gets this dark amber-colored coffee. But the last person that gets there, that's the person who gets the really dark and ultimately sweet coffee that I try to hide until I'm the last person in line.
What do you think, Flavio?
Wow, is there a name for this process?
I don't know if it has a name or not. Last year I took a trip along Route 66, and I stopped in New Mexico, and some of the people, I'll call it a Native American rest stop. They knew of it, and so as the sun was setting in the west, there I was sitting by the fire waiting for that last cup of coffee.
Wow, sounds nice. Sounds good. I'd love to try it.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. A number to call is 1-800-348-2551. On this Food Friday, we talk tea with Kevin Borowski of the Whistling Kettle in Boston Spa and in Troy, New York. That's the new location. Also, our coffee expert today, and it's Flavio Lichtenthal, who is, you know what? It's been tough getting the pronunciation. I hope I'm close, because when I saw the script, I had it completely differently.
That's close enough.
Close enough, yeah. You know, and it's number 6 Depot in West Stockbridge at a Tanglewood. How does the Tanglewood crowd dig your stuff?
It's going great.
Yeah?
It's going great. Lots of cappuccinos and cold brew is something that we're
that's
selling
popular
a lot
nowadays,
of.
Yes.
Very popular.
Tell me about cold brew. How do you do that?
Cold brew is a really great method of brewing. The beans get ground coarsely, go into a filter. The filter gets tightly tied, goes into cold water, and it's left for anywhere between 14-20 hours. We do an 18-hour brew at Six Depot, and basically then you remove the filter with the coffee grounds, and you have this beautiful, dense, thick, very, very low acidity coffee. If it was a beer, it'd be a Guinness. It's got
really?
a slightly fermented note from the coffee sitting on the in the cold water. And it's for people who don't enjoy the acidic part of the coffee experience. Cold brew has been a huge hit at our place.
I hear a lot of people talking about
it.
Let's go to Olive in Kingston. Olive, you're on.
Yes, hi. I wanted to just talk about the European versus American thing again. I know you've talked about the roasting part.
Yeah.
But I have to say, having grown up in Europe and spending a lot of time in South America as well, it's impossible, to my experience, to find coffee that tastes as mellow and flavorful here in the States.
Hmm.
I just haven't found it. So I have to agree with the other caller that, where can we find coffee that's full-flavored, full-bodied, but not bitter?
Well, where have you looked?
Oh, a lot of places.
Okay.
I need to send you some Six Depot coffee, I think.
There you go.
Yeah. The Europeans have been roasting and brewing for a long, long time. I think that there's a little bit of a trend in the States to under roast these days a little bit, to preserve origin. I think that European coffee culture initially did not have great quality coffee, so the roasting became very important. I think that there was a little bit of usage of the Robusta as opposed to Arabica, which is a little lower grown, a little there's a low tone to it.
What do you mean a low tone?
It's just a little more bass noted. It's not doesn't have the bright the bright notes, the acidity I was referring to before that mm-hmm. is desirable. That a lot of I think the new roasters are trying to preserve some of the character. But I think in the European, I'm thinking about what that could be attributed to. But I think that there's a longer, more developed roasting in Europe that is more derived, ironically, from probably initially not such a good coffee that needed a lot of help from the roaster to develop sweetness from, as opposed to the respect of the origin.
Fascinating. Olive, thank you very much for the call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We go to Joe in Great Barrington. Joe, you're on.
Hi. Have a question about brewing black tea.
Okay.
I understand that there are some cultures where they brew tea and just keep adding to it. You know, they keep it for long periods of time, weeks. You know, they just keep adding more tea, brew some more, add more tea, and some sort of a cultural thing, maybe Norway, Finland. And I started experimenting with some black tea. In the mornings, I get black tea leaves, brew a pot, drink that pot, the leaves are down at the bottom of the pot, put it in the fridge. Next morning, I'll add a little bit more tea, brew it. And I've been experimenting just to see, what this is all about. It sounds to me like I'm never going to get a real good pot of tea because I'm going to have over-brewed tea. I don't know. What do you guys know about this?
Kevin.
That's an interesting way of brewing tea. I mean, you can do cold brew as well with tea, like you can do with
like
coffee.
Sun tea or?
Well, sun tea is sort of like cold brewing, except it's more, I would say, lukewarm brewing. But you can put it in the refrigerator, and it'll brew a very mellow, mellow way. There are some, like I'll personally drink tea with a tumbler where you just put the tea and you just put water in and you leave the tea leaves in there. You actually don't take them out.
Right.
So when I do that, I just keep the temperature down so it doesn't oversteep.
Right. I've been steeping it about just under 200, but I should keep it even lower, I guess.
Yeah, you kind of adjust your ratios. But
okay.
I mean, how long have you been doing that?
About a month. Been fooling around with the temperature of the water, and you know, I drink the tea. I've been using good teas, Indian, I think it's Assam, and some other black teas.
Right, as long as you start off with a good quality base. But I don't know how long. I mean,
How long I've been keeping the tea?
Yeah, I mean, how long?
I've gotten about 3 days, and then just got bored with it and washed the pot. And
will it ferment after a while?
I mean, it does. Question too. It does if it's not covered, it will start.
Yeah, I cover it and put it in the fridge after I'm done with it.
But yeah, that's an interesting way. I've never seen tea brewed that way, where you keep adding over days.
Yeah, the Norwegians or the Finns. There was this feature I read somewhere in a publication, food publication. They have this whole cult of this, and but what do you know?
But it makes sense, because if you're putting it in the refrigerator, you're sort of cold brewing it, so you're kind of doing like a hybrid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Finns probably have no problem cold brewing anything.
No, they do it right outside.
Right.
Joe, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We go to Christine in Mount Tremper, New York. Hi, Christine.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good. My question is, coffee is my elixir of life. I love coffee, especially a really dark, oily bean. I drip the coffee. And I was wondering, I don't get the caffeine buzz that people talk about from dark roasted beans. I will, however, feel edgy after a lighter roast coffee after I drink a lighter roast coffee. And I was wondering, is there less caffeine in a darker roast?
Flavio's nodding.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, that's a great question, Christine. I think you're probably sounds like you're more sensitive than most to caffeine, but inherently anything that's cooked more will lose some of its natural properties. Whether it's broccoli, will lose vitamins the more it's cooked.
Certainly.
There will be a loss of caffeine, but I think most people are not really. Will detect that very, very, very little. So normally at the cafe, when people say, I want more caffeine, can I have the lighter roast? I'll say, hey, just have the coffee you love. Don't worry about it. You'll get the hit. But it's true that the least roast, the more caffeine, because caffeine is inherent in the coffee bean.
And so the more you cook roast, becomes sweeter. Because no one needs to add sugar to my coffee.
Dark roast, definitely, if it's roasted properly, as sugar and sweet compounds develop in the roasting process, that's where the roaster comes into play and can prolong the roast and play with the elements to make those sugars come up. Yeah, so definitely both things. There'll be less caffeine in a less roasted. There'll be more caffeine in a less roasted coffee, and more sugar development in a more roasted, if it's carefully roasted, so it doesn't become bitter from charring from the too high a heat.
Okay, we're running out of time here, but let's go to Ron and Colony. Ron, you have about 30 seconds to pose a question.
Okay, real quick. I'm glad I came in after that call. I recently heard an hour show with Dr. Patrick Vickers, who runs the Gerson Cancer Clinic in Mexico.
Okay.
And he does coffee enemas every day, but that isn't what I'm going to bring up.
I'm glad you're not bringing
up. But the lighter coffee is higher in palmitic acid, and that's really good for you. So I like dark coffee myself, but the lighter coffee is actually healthier. I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but it has to be brewed a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And even he didn't know, because he doesn't do it.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
That makes sense, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Ron.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't know. Okay.
You got the last word on that, and I appreciate it. Okay. Kevin, how do people find you?
You can go to our website, www.thewhistlingkettle.com.
Okay. www.thewhistlingkettle.com. And Flavio, how do they find you?
Our website is sixdepot.com. You would spell out the number six, so it's sixdepot.com. Or they can drive through West Stockbridge in Massachusetts, and Stop for a cup of coffee.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, this was fun, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being here. I learned a lot, and we had some delicious tea, and this was a good time. Thanks to everybody who called in. Support comes from the Bee's Knees Cafe, Preston Hollow, New York, serving food raised right on the farm, weekend lunch and Sunday brunch, on and off farm catering, heather-ridge-farm.com. Marbletown True Value Hardware, Stone Ridge, a locally owned independent source offering Loge cookware, Weber grills, and specialty kitchen items, marbletownhardware.com. True value, start right, start here. And the city of Kingston, home to the Kingston Festival of the Arts, 11 days of art, opera, classical, and jazz music, food, and the return of the Soap Box Derby, August 21st through the 31st, kingstonfestival.org. Thanks to Zachary T. Malloy for his sterling service at the controls. Your phones were answered by Mike Allinger, our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Make sure you take WAMC with you. We have an app, you know, and it's a good one. You can go to the iTunes Store or Google Play Store, search WAMC, install. Thanks for joining us on Vox Pop today. We'll be back on Monday with Medical Monday. Have a lovely weekend. I'm Ray Graff. Stay tuned for a news update.